Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down and four. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick. What a game. Touchdown.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Joe
Buck
was...
I want to know what happened to him,
Well, he's coming out with a book.
No,
the perilous fight.
Before the knee. And real quick about the knee, he was doing that to show the soldiers love, troops love.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it in about 10 minutes with Steve Weiss.
That went bad.
He was the one who helped break the story. Yeah, 10 years ago, Colin Kaepernick was... Dude, he was...
How many coordinators you think he played for in his 9 or 10 year?
Unbelievable in that game.
Offensive coordinators, if you had to guess.
How many offensive coordinators? How many years was he on the Niners?
Boy, this is bringing me back to yesterday. Leonard Floyd.
My guess would be five.
Three.
Three?
Yeah. Greg Roman, Cheap Chris, and Curtis Mikins.
Oh, I was just picking one for every single season.
But, dude, he was a star,
Yes, he was. That game against the Green Bay Packers in 2012, by the way, that was Joe Buck on the call for Fox Sports, is one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen in a playoff game.
Man.
I know it wasn't a Super Bowl. I know they didn't end up getting it and lost to the Ravens, but that...
Damn.
Like, I just put down a couple off the top of my head that I can remember. Do you remember in 2020, the Chiefs, on their way to, beating the Niners in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes had a quarter against the Houston Texans in the divisional round where they were down four scores at the end of the first quarter. I think it was 28-3.
Is that Kansas City?
And by halftime, they were leading 31-28.
I remember.
He threw four touchdowns, five total in that game. It was unbelievably dominant. The 2016 NFC Championship, people probably don't remember because the Falcons obviously blew a 25-point lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But Matt Ryan had five touchdowns. They led 31-0 at half against the Green Bay Packers. Soon to be at the hands of a lot of these. But Matt Ryan was dicing that defense for the Atlanta Falcons. And of course, that was with Kyle Shanahan as his offense coordinator. Also, Steve Smith was one that I remember when I was a kid. He had like 220 and two touchdowns against the Bears in not the year they made the Super Bowl. I think it might have been the year after. But Steve Smith, as a young wide receiver, I remember for the Panthers, just could not be stopped.
Man.
So, yeah, Kaepernick's up there for me. Absolutely. He had like .183 on the ground and two touchdowns. Kissed the bicep, ran all of it. He made it look so easy that... You couldn't play man defense against him because he would just take off.
And then the kiss in the biceps thing, that was the one for me. It was like, not only am I just going to get you with my arm, my laser arm, I'm going to do it with the legs. And Evan, I got in my bad, bad car accident. I should be checked out of here. I shouldn't even be here in 2013. And that Super Bowl is still that NFC Championship at Seattle. Niners Seattle, and Richard Sherman got the interception in the end zone. That could have possibly been another Super Bowl visit for the Niners, but one of the greatest games I've watched, and he had dudes in the flat that he didn't hit. But, man, I just would love a case study on what happened to Cap on the field. Was it the adjustment to him and him not making the adjustment? But how did you get to that, you know, far up top on the mountain, Evan, to kind of fall off?
Well, look, obviously there's a lot that happened off the field that sort of led to his career getting shortchanged. But, I mean, you're right. Towards the end of his time in San Francisco, it looked like the league had just figured him out. You know, I don't know if he would have gone on to be as dominant of a player as he was at the start of his career. But in 2016, he was 1-10 as a starter. And I know they weren't a great football team as a whole. It was the year before Shanahan got there. But Colin Kaepernick, I don't know. He wasn't a flash in the pan because he was the starter for 4 or 5 years for the Niners, and then obviously at the beginning he took over in 2012. But that first season, and then the next one in 2013, I don't know if there were more, if there was a more dynamic player.
Man, and seven jerseys were just running rampant here in the Bay. They were playing at the stick. And how about this? Tell me if this is too, am I doing too much here? I know in the NFL, that old adage, I think it's done now, Evan. You can't lose your job to injury. Well, Alex Smith did. But for Jim Harbaugh to have the guts and cojones to make that switch, I mean, the Bay Area, it was an earthquake in regard to Hatfields and McCoys. People, half were Alex, half were Cap. And you know, Jim Harbaugh made that switch, man, and it was the right one. Got him to a Super, even though they weren't ready to play down, you know, against the Ravens. They had to come back when the lights went out.
Yeah, and look, I think it was he took this place by storm, the Bay Area. You couldn't talk football at the time without thinking about what Colin Kaepernick did for the San Francisco 49ers. But unlike Brock Purdy, I think over the course of time it was proven that he didn't have staying power. Now, I think as an opportunity to play as a backup, that absolutely should have been on the table.
No doubt.
And I think that was what was taken from him.
Right.
The ability to still be in the NFL, even if it wasn't as a high-caliber starting quarterback.
Or do you think I'm being too sometimey with this? His ability to make the adjustment to the adjustment the league made, if I'm correct, and that had something to do with this subpar play.
Yeah, I mean, that dude threw the fastest football.
Evan, it's a laser.
I have ever seen. And there's only one speed. He didn't throw it slowly and then dial it up. He just threw it hard.
Yeah.
It was one of the reasons why I always thought that Michael Crabtree was a little underrated. I know some people think about him differently.
I love Crab.
But that dude would catch heat-seeking missiles from Colin Kaepernick. It'd be like a five-yard slant.
Except in the NFC Championship game against Seattle in the Super Bowl. Those were some of the worst passes. They weren't even close.
No, they weren't.
Give it to Frankie! Frank Gore got you down there. Let me stop. But that was the start of the spell in regard to the losing streak in the bowl, Evan.
That's true. The 415 brings up a good point. Kaepernick's downfall was when the Niners tried to turn him into a pocket passer. And again, we're talking about him right now because we're going to speak with Steve Wyche of the NFL Network, who spoke to Kaepernick after he began sitting and then eventually kneeling for the national anthem, which began 10 years today. Back in 2016.
Good. Will you read this book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The last book I read that was about Kaepernick, I believe it wasn't solely about Kaepernick, but it was started with him, was Full Dissonance, which is written by Howard Bryant. It's a really good
Howard
book.
Howard is big boy.
It's just kind of about the history of social justice matters as they pertain to NFL players, and you know, Kaepernick is kind of the most recent reminder of it. All right, Manny, quickly. Let's go to Manny in Union City. Wants to talk about Cap. What's up, Manny? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, real quick, he was nothing but Cordell Stewart 2.0. You guys are reliving the hype that Jim Harbaugh bought into. That's why we don't have a Super Bowl. Instead of giving the rock to Frank Gore, he trusted in the hype of Kaepernick. And like I said, Cap, his longevity in the NFL did not even exceed the quarterback he replaced. Alex had lived a prosperous NFL career based on his skill set, and Cap, he was nothing, man. Cap, Cordell Stewart 2.0.
Manny, he got you to the Super Bowl, bro. Come on.
What I find funny about this, the guy that couldn't read defenses wrote a book. That's all I got.
Yeah, I'm mad.
That's kind of a cheap shot, man.
I'm mad. I'm sports mad at Manny. Yeah. He got you to the bowl, damn.
It was running on.
Ask the Packers about Cap. Damn, Manny.
I mean, nobody's saying he's Steve Young.
Alex Smith couldn't complete a pass against the Giants at home in the NFC Championship game. I know my boy fumbled, but come on, man.
Yikes, Manny.
Man, he didn't.
Sounds like he still hasn't got over 2012.
let me tell you who's not reading that Cap book, Manny. Damn. And the people feel how they feel.
Yeah, I understand. It's like you can't deny that there was a time where that dude was a bad, bad man.
Good Lord, man.
Again, he had 180 rushing yards, which I believe is still a quarterback record in an NFC Division round game.
Man.
He also threw for 240 in that game, too. He's a really good quarterback. Yeah. Just because he didn't have staying power doesn't mean that he wasn't good at one point.
And for the people in the back that think I'm not dogging Lance. He went to Dallas. They let go of him. I'm not saying Lance has a job. He's with the Chargers. But, Evan, I can look at you with a lot of confidence and say, Lance ain't the next. You know what I mean? He'll probably be a backup. But he had a chance in Dallas. They said night-night. And, again, you got Justin Herbert in L.A., so I don't see a barn injury. But miss me with Lance. He's got the goods. I don't think he has the goods.
Trey Lance?
Yeah.
Who's talking about him?
Some people on text line.
Oh.
Yeah. Saying we're being too hard on him. He's not a – I'm just – come on.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
Yeah,
That's timeless.
I'm sorry. Trey Lance is
speak to him.
He's not in this conversation. God love him.
And then when he went to Dallas, I'm like, maybe.
By the way, he's the highest paid backup in the league.
He's got
that going for him. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're going to talk to Steve Weiss here in just a second. Courtesy of the River Islands guest line. But, you know, we're talking about Colin Kaepernick today, who, again, 10 years ago sat against the Green Bay Packers in a preseason game and then eventually took a knee. And Steve Weiss was the one that spoke to him after that game. So I'm excited to talk to Weiss again in just a moment here. And
you think we'll ever see anything like that again?
Protests in sports?
Yeah. Or something to that degree before the game? Or do you think, you know, guys – might be reluctant to do that because of what we deem the fallout of Cap.
I mean, it's happened throughout sports history in different fashions. I think it will happen again. But we do have him on the line, okay. So I want to get right to him. Again, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's bring on Steve Weiss, chief national reporter for the NFL Network. Again, 10 years ago today is when Colin Kaepernick sat in a preseason game against the Packers. Steve Weiss was there to talk with him about, you know, what ended up becoming a big part of his story along with the NFL, really. And Steve, we're very pleased for you to join us today. What's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, if we can take a trip down memory lane with you, you know, just I know you've probably been asked a lot about it recently, especially in light of Kaepernick's upcoming memoir and manifesto, The Perilous Fight, coming out next month. But could you just take us into, you know, what you went through, what you felt like Kaepernick went through, and just remind people how big of a moment that was 10 years ago?
Well, that's loaded to think of, you know, especially what Colin went through. But look, when this happened, you know, I got a phone call from a colleague, Mike Garofolo, who said he was speaking with somebody with the Niners, who said, look, if you've got somebody at that preseason game, have them check to see if Kaepernick was standing for the national anthem. So I just happened to be there only because, you know, Cap's career had kind of fallen, you know, fallen down a little bit. Everyone thought Chip Kelly was going to be the guy who ran the scheme to get him back on track. So I was there. Cap had been inactive the first two games because he was recovering from injury. He had not been medically cleared. And so he apparently had not stood for the national anthem in those two preseason games, but because he wasn't in uniform, nobody could really tell. So, you know, I saw that he didn't stand for the national anthem. It was confirmed by a picture from a media person up there, Jennifer Lee Chan. And so after the game, or during the game, you know, I had asked the Niners PR, like, hey, look, if nobody asked Cap about not standing, can I speak to him in private? So that was arranged. Nobody asked him about not standing during the anthem. And, you know, my curiosity in those 3 hours between when he didn't stand and when the end of the game came was piqued a lot by his social media activity during the summer. Remember, this was 2016. We had a lot of videotaped police shootings of unarmed black men. Philando Castile, Michael Brown. There were so many more. And it was kind of this wave of shooting after shooting. And Cap's social media that summer, he was really active in speaking out in recognition of this and in opposition of this. And we hadn't seen that before. So I was just kind of like, huh, maybe one has to do with the other, but I'll ask him. And so sure enough, when I got him in that private hallway and I asked him about it, and he said what he said, it was kind of like, okay, so this was a protest. This is going to be a big story because this is a former starting quarterback of a Super Bowl team. You know, we haven't had quarterbacks do this stuff before. So the backdrop of what was happening in society with these shootings, with the fact that Obama was on his way out of office and Trump and Hillary Clinton were each party's candidates, and there'd been this incredible societal and political divide going on out loud, really, I think, kind of enhanced that moment that we've seen has stayed with us for 10 years, which is why I say you cannot write modern American history, and frankly, American history, not sports history, but American history, without this moment and what Colin Kaepernick did to absolutely disrupt the kind of the way we thought, the kind of way we kind of pushed that moment.
Mm. Steve, always a pleasure, and that's some heavy stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of disappointed and mad that, you know, Cap's career ended the way it did. And my partner and I were just having a discussion just about life in sports, and Cap was at the top of his craft. You know, you can let me know if I'm doing a little too much. He was at stardom, kissing the biceps, quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you process everything Colin Kaepernick, the finality, do you think, you know, was it football-related, the slippage, or do you think, you know, this gesture and him kneeling cost him his career? How do you, like, because I felt like he fell off a bit but was robbed of the opportunity to kind of make an adjustment.
You nailed it. Look, you just go back over the following year or even 2 years and look at how many teams had quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks go down to injury, ineffective play, and look who replaced them. And you can't sit there and say Colin Kaepernick wasn't more deserving than some of those guys. I mean, there were teams, I'll let you do the homework. There were teams that lost two or three quarterbacks that year. And the people that they put on the field, there's no way those would even be Kaepernick's backups when he was at his peak. So you can absolutely say these teams were afraid to bring him in their locker rooms or afraid to put him in their fan base, or their ownership, not the football guys, their ownership stood in such opposition to what he did and not in accordance to why he did it as to why his football career ended the way it did. And that's why when I wrote the story, when I talk about the why, and we have five journalistic principles that we're all taught from journalism 101 all the way through our careers, the who, what, when, where, and why. Right, those are the five pillars of journalism. I felt that the why was equally as imperative in telling his protest story as to actually what he did. I thought the why was hugely important in the moment of where America was in society. Say, here's what he did, but here's why he did it. Because we had all seen video after video after video of police shootings of unarmed people of color. There was no way to run from it, right? We'd seen it over and over again on the news, on social media, whatever. And I think those two coupled together were really the impact of what he did, whether you agreed with what he did and why he did it.
Mm. Steve Weiss joining us here on 95.7 The Game, chief national reporter for NFL Network. I do want to bring it to modern day now, and obviously the Niners have been in the news, you know, for off the field subjects. When you saw that the owner, Jed York, was arrested on two misdemeanor counts, one amended for engaging in prostitution over the weekend in East Ohio, you know, I understand that it's hard to make the connection to, all right, how does this impact football and their game against the Rams in upcoming week one in a week and a half? But you know, how big of a deal is it, do you think, that much of the story lines about the 49ers this offseason, particularly this last one, have not been good and have not been a good look for the franchise?
Well, specifically to the most recent one with Jed York, that's more embarrassing in whatever way you want to take it to him personally than probably to the franchise because of a decision that he made, not the 49ers made yet, even though he's the principal owner. All that with the 49ers, they're going to be bound to that, but I don't think it's going to have a significant impact on the way that their football organization is run. We've seen owners have issues before. You can go back to Jim Irsay. You can go back to Robert Kraft. those things have not necessarily impacted what the players and the coaches and the scouts and all of those guys do. It's a personal issue that Jed York is going to have to deal with. It is an issue that the club is going to have to, or not have to in this case, discuss, but it knows it's going to be there and talked about as we're doing now. But in terms of what's going to happen on Sundays or what's going to happen in you know, a week plus over in Australia, I don't think that's necessarily going to have, I don't think one connects to the other.
Steve, I want to take advantage of this opportunity. You know, I don't get to talk to you much, and you've covered this league with the best of them. And on that front, on, you know, this Niner off season, Kyle Shanahan got in a car accident, and thankfully he's okay and looks like he'll be coaching week one. But can you share with us, just to your core, what you thought on how this situation was handled and reported with the delays?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't have all the details right in front of me, but Kyle.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I had an accident. It sounded as if the way it was recorded by the police department led to the delays in the actual public disclosure of it. You know, again, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it sounds like there was some type of handling with the way it was legally recorded as to where, again, it led to the public disclosure. And look, part of this goes to show you the state of where the media is right now, too. When I was coming up in the newspaper game, in Miami, in Washington, in Atlanta, we always had somebody who would check the police reports every day to see if something was there. A lot of media outlets don't have those resources anymore to have somebody go do that. So that could be a reason why it wasn't necessarily automatically out in the media. Again, there was a Metro reporter, there was a police reporter who checked the blotter and the stuff all the time. You know, these people used to travel with those monitors where they would hear police calls. You know, you don't have those people around anymore. So I mean, there's those different elements where things slip through the cracks now. Whether there was, you know, anything intentional, I don't think so. It doesn't seem that way. And I can probably be safe in saying this. There's probably been other accidents and things like this that have happened to people that we've never known about. But this just happened to be a very severe accident in which the head coach suffered some injuries, including a concussion, which did impact his ability to fully do his job. Mm.
Steve Weiss joining us here on 95.7 The Game, chief national reporter for NFL Network. And you know, my last one for you, Steve, is about the team and kind of the expectations. I know they've gone through a lot this offseason, a lot of stuff that, as you've mentioned, you know, doesn't necessarily pertain to football, but you still got one of the best head coaches and play callers in the league. You know, one of the best established now quarterbacks in Brock Purdy. George Kittle's coming back. Nick Bosa, hopefully, and Mike Evans will be ready soon. You know, what are your expectations for the San Francisco 49ers, especially on the heels of a season in which many people believe they overachieved due to all the injuries and still winning 12 games in a playoff game? Where do you see the Niners and where they're at right now?
Well, and it's always the caveat, right? It's always an asterisk. If they remain healthy, they're going to be in the Super Bowl contention. Mm. I mean, the conversation around them is who gets out of this brutal NFC West. I mean, you talked about a stacked division with the Rams and the Seahawks, you know, coming in with these all-star rosters. And the 49ers are right there. The bigger difference is, even though the Rams have some age on them, you know, the 49ers have age and players who suffered injuries with that age. The Boses, the Kittles, you know, the Warners. Dre Greenlaw is coming off of an injury, but he seems fresh. You know, can Trent Williams continue to be as dominant? I mean, there's no reason to doubt that he couldn't. I mean, but you just look at some of the numbers there and people can draw one and two. But I think if they stay healthy, they'll be right there. The big question for them is going to be the depth and the ability to get things done at wide receiver. I think DeShon Stribling has got a lot of deserved attention. He's been fantastic. But can over 17 games you keep that up, right? Can, you know, can Mike Evans stay healthy and keep that up? If they can keep their receivers, you know, upright and continue to develop, they should be, again, a dynamic offense. But, you know, they, you can't give Christian McCaffrey 400-plus touches this year and think, you know, think he's gonna be good again. It's just, you know, a lot of things have to break in their favor. Every team's got to have things break in their favor, but because of the injury history and the age on a lot of their key players, you know, the, that four-leaf clover needs to be passed around and touched by a few more guys.
No doubt about it. Steve, you know, I'm telling my partner at every turn, I just feel like the Niners and Kyle, and I'm disappointed that they built something so strong and powerful. And, yeah, the Rams were there and actually beat you to win their Super Bowl, but they were the class of the division. Seattle was trying to find an identity, but now I just feel like, has the Niners, their best opportunity for them to win it all, Steve, has that passed? And with that being said, how big of a gap do you think it is, or if there at all, between Seattle, the Rams, and this version of the Niners?
You can, you know, what was the measurement that the referee used for a first down thing in the sticks? It's a credit card size gap,
oh,
right?
It's territory.
I think it's a very small sliver, but again, I think the margin of injury error or some type of error like is much more minuscule for the 49ers. Again, look at their receiver depth. It's not there like some other teams may have. You know, you look at their running back depth. It's not quite as there. Their O-line depth, not quite as what it is maybe with some other teams. But again, if those frontline guys can play the majority of the games, and I'm not talking playing 10 games, but can play at least 14, 15 games, they should be right there. It's going to be tough for Seattle. It's always tough for those Super Bowl teams to repeat, but that's a really, really, really good football team that the majority of their stars are young and on the come up. The Rams, we know it's almost unfair, especially once Aaron Donald comes back, how loaded they are on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they got Trent McDuffie and guys like that to go with Myles Garrett. So, again, it's there's always things that happen during the season which jeopardize teams that look like they're the front runner. And for the 49ers know that more than anybody with their injuries. But all things being equal and everybody being durable, they're going to be right there in the mix.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much for joining us and, you know, walking down memory lane, highlighting something that ended up, as you talked about, becoming a seminal moment, not just in sports, but in American history. So thank you for doing that and for joining us here today to talk about it and more.
No, I appreciate you having me on, guys.
All right, that's Steve Weiss joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop?
Evan, can I just run something by you? That was great, man. And the cap part was just hit me all over. Could I make a case? And again, I'm Monday morning quarterback with all this, but he was making a stand, a hell of a stand, right? That cost him his career. Could I say maybe some of the players, black players, didn't have his back as much as they could have?
Well, Eric Reed did. I think Eric Reed took a knee with him. And in fact, I was reading that there was some discussion of who actually came up with the idea to kneel, because a lot of people attributed to Nate Boyer.
That's who I thought it was.
Who was an Army Special Forces veteran, by the way, from El Cerrito.
Look at you, dude.
That's my hometown. And he wrote an open letter to Cap, which then they had a discussion, decided that it would be better, more respectful to the troops. But I think there was, I'd read that, you know, Eric Reed had also talked about it.
But like a star, a big star somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of somebody during that duration, but guys like that, like, you know, faces of the franchise. But I don't feel like that happened. I don't know, but now I'm thinking about it all. Like, did anybody really have his back?
Well, I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong, because it's people's individual choices, but clearly there was a lot to lose. I mean, Colin Kaepernick ended up losing his career.
Man, that part.
So, you know, it's what he stood for. And what made it so powerful was the consequence. I think that a lot of times when people protest, like, for example, I was looking at some of the instances throughout the past in which there's been social protests in sports.
Right.
So, okay. In 2012, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, they wore hooded sweatshirts, and they posted a video on social media saying, "I am Trayvon Martin."
Okay.
And they were obviously protesting the killing of Martin. There wasn't a consequence for doing that. And it doesn't...
The league actually embraced that.
Exactly. So, other people joining them, I think Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony at the ESPYs, they made Clippers.
Well, that was Donald Sterk. Go ahead.
Well, they did. But to me, that's why you saw more of a gathering of support, not just the league embracing it, but there wasn't a consequence. Like, LeBron wasn't going to lose his career, and neither was Wade, by doing what they did.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick did not know, but had an idea of the backlash that he was going to face, right, and still did it. That, to me, is courageous and commendable. So that's probably why other players were looking around like, dude, this guy's not on a football team.
Man.
And you just heard Weiss describe the amount of teams that went through backups who are not as good as Colin Kaepernick. So I think that's what
separates it. A black eye for the NFL, no doubt. Because he's right. Evan, I can remember some of the names that teams were signing in regard to quarterbacks, and Cap was out there. It's like, come on, what are we doing? But it was obvious at that point. The cat was out the bag.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but there's been examples of players that have lost their careers due to standing up for what they believe was right. Kurt Flood, who's from Oakland, famously sued the league in 1970 because of the reserve clause, and compared baseball players being forced to remain with their teams, he compared it to slavery. And he lost his entire career to that. And oh, by the way, 2 years later, the U.S. Supreme Court created free agency for baseball.
Mm.
It's like some players don't get to reap the benefits of what they stand for. And I'm not sure if there's a complete comparison between Flood and Kaepernick, but I have to imagine that's why other players were not as up in arms as Cap, is because they knew what it would cost.
Man, I got to be careful. You can't tell, and you guys can't, but I'm lightweight getting emotional, man. And I just think of that time, where we're at now. And Evan, I don't want to put you in a bad spot, and I know you're down for the cause, but man, I sent you a thing on Instagram, and I'm sorry if I know you didn't get offended, but we got black people getting hung from trees in Mississippi and North Carolina. And if you looked at the TV or not, and the internet, it's like it's not happening. So I'm just saying, man, I will read that book, and I'll tell you this, because reading's always good, right? I almost wish I could hear from him verbally just about his experience in the NFL now that this time has passed, and still where we're at dysfunctionally as a country, especially when it comes to racism.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be doing a press tour. I'd imagine he wants to promote his book. And again, it's coming out next month, a memoir and manifesto.
I'm gonna get it.
Is what it's called. Yeah, I'll read it, absolutely. It's a big deal. But Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback, real quick, I wouldn't call him a flash. I know Manny earlier called him about, and some people described him as.
Right, damn.
I don't know if it's a flash, but definitely,
Was legit to me.
Well, it was legit until the league figured him out, and then it all went away. I think that's what separates a lot of quarterbacks, is the fact that they can adjust to the adjustment.
But E, who gets to those heights? Multiple championship games, a Super Bowl, and you probably could give me 10 people, but I'm drawing a blank. Like, when you get to those heights, normally it doesn't revert back like, yeah, you did that on the fluke. They were winning divisions. He was beating good Packer teams, showing out, coming back in the playoffs. Like, that's what's so uncanny about it, is like, normally you find out or you get knocked off your throne early, not after.
Well, it wasn't a fluke for those two seasons. I mean, the first guy that I thought of, we're talking about just quick, great seasons, was like Robert Griffin III. I mean, that guy was dominant until he tore his knee up
and
became a different player.
Yeah.
I know that's not what happened to Kaepernick, but my point is, was Robert Griffin III great? He was his rookie season. And then after that, he could never get back to those heights.
Mm.
By the way, with Shanahan and his OC.
Yep.
What were you going to say, Ken?
I was going to say that one was malpractice in my mind, because he was falling apart, and they just left him out there
It. But they also, in that same draft, the Redskins, his daddy and Kyle, drafted Cousins. So a lot of people, Evan, say, watching your quarterback go down, RG3, who Snyder wanted on the field, was it the worst thing in the world to have to bring Kirk in? I'll just put that, I'll leave that there, you know? And in that drive, I'm like, damn, you drafted two quarterbacks? So I'm just saying, RG3 is the one, shout out Baylor. But then here comes Kirk Cousins. It's like, well, did you need two? But maybe they weren't so excited about RG3. But I'll put respect on Kyle's name. He had him rookie of the year, and they went to the playoffs.
They did. He was special that season. Well,
he wrecked it against Seattle. Well,
but teams draft multiple quarterbacks. Held the Browns.
Well, the Niners did it, right?
Oh, the Niners drafted Curtis Rourke last year in the sixth round. He was a higher draft pick than Purdy was.
That's amazing.
You know, I mean, yeah, it happens. Mm-hmm. Kirk, by the way, so he's going to start for the Raiders this year?
Yeah.
I want you to...
I kind of understand it.
So I'm going to ask you where he ranks among active earners in the NFL. I want you to think on it during the break.
I'll tell you
on the other side. It's unbelievable how much money that guy has made in his career. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I also do want to get back into what Steve Weiss said towards the end of his interview. You can go check that out on the Odyssey app, about the wide receiving core. Because Steve Smith on ESPN, I believe it was last week, talked about how the Niners might have the best receiving core under Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And it's not that Weiss put a pin in that balloon, but there's something fragile about it that I want to dig into on the other side. All right, our football coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Evan Ginnings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Back after this on Stein and Guru.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I miss Guru, but you're also good.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
We got trouble brewing.
That's my line. Wait, what do you mean? Wait, how?
Because I came out, started the show with the Giants who get their first sweep. Like, Logan Webb, they bumped him up. He's pitching today. The Reds,
yeah.
Listen, Evan.
They're done.
If words come out of my mouth, they have quit. They look like it's surgery to be out there on the baseball field. The Giants get it done today. And during the break, you make a bet on the Reds and you're smiling.
You're gonna air me out like
weird.
That?
That's weird. Yes. Like, why do you want me to lose?
No, it's not that.
It's the chair.
Well, no, it's not that I want you to lose. It's that I want to beat you. I'm just competitive, is really how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, just like the Devers bet over the weekend. Why'd you bet against Devers last weekend?
Because I thought he wasn't going to hit one, but that was a bomb. What about last night?
And see, I didn't really care if he did or didn't, but the fact that you thought he didn't means that I believe now that he does. So this is how it works.
Yeah. And it goes back to, we got to talk about you and Willard. That was for Ali Frazier. That was good sparring.
No, that wasn't Ali Frazier. He put me at the kids' table. He's probably listening right now.
It was a great combo. Dibs and I just sat back, but that was good for you.
Well, I'm glad I gave him the material for his show.
Will! I do have to ask you this, though.
And also the morning show was talking about it, too.
Oh, did they bring it up?
Yeah, they were like, oh, you know, Giddings and Willard on opposite sides of the fence of the crossover yesterday. What do you guys think? 888-9570.
They clipped Spadoni. That was the one I heard.
Yeah.
Two sides. You guys are both in both ends of the spectrum. But in regard to...
it's just an opinion. I don't know.
To Devers.
What?
And it's not just Devers. It's when you play on a bad team like the Giants are, and then one guy starts balling... Evan, I could hear Steiny. I know his answer. But do you say, yeah, now the pressure's off, so player A or B is balling? Because there's no – I'm just asking. Because that homer he hit last night was bombs-like, and Kiper said it. And Kuko Kenny coming at me on the thread.
Yeah.
They said it was bombs-like. He golfed that baby.
Yeah. Kuko Kiper legends. How much effort he had to put into that one? He almost fell out of his shoes.
He slid across the plate.
By the way, Goo. Some news from the Giants. Jung Hoo Lee, he's scratched today.
We'll be fine. Yes, okay. They're playing with AAA dudes everywhere.
I promise I didn't know that.
I'm like,
when
who's
we did
the
this.
Norms calling? Who's this? Who's that? It's working. The Reds have quit. Put it all on the Giants for their first sweep of the season, Evan.
Okay, all right.
I can't. Ooh, it's going to taste
good. This is just who I am. All right, if the Reds have quit, what does that make the Giants?
They're
25 games under .500.
They're playing hard. I can see life. Even if they don't, I see life. I'm looking at
obviously not a good day.
Yeah, I'm looking at De La Cruz. They're going through the motions.
They made about 16 web gems last night, the Giants did.
That they did.
They had a who's my guy last
Shasky
night.
Shasky was at the game with the fan.
Yeah, so was I. It was a fun game. It was a good game. Gilbert. That was probably the cleanest game the Giants
you
played.
You went to
all
game?
Year. Yeah, I went to the game.
Oh,
last
I forgot.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 24 games under .500 after the win last night. Reds have one run in the first two games.
So they can. You feel like right now somebody were to bet you, are the Giants going to lose 90? You're like, that's destiny. They're on the fast track.
Yeah, the one thing they can do, I think it's they have to win 10 of their next. They have to win 9 games of their next 30 to avoid losing 100 games, which would only be the second time in franchise history that's happened.
Oh, my God. You got the makeup game with the Braves Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which. So they have a chance to sweep today. If they don't, then technically the makeup game, if they won on Monday, would be a sweep of the Braves because it dates back. And
doesn't count. Not for
yes,
me.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
you
does.
You got the Reds, baby. I hope they get blasted.
No, the big picture here is that Devers has arrived and you guys want to ship him out. That's fine.
I do not. Austin said,
just a walking
Guru
30 home
the
runs.
Math is still there. It's not.
It's just a walking 30 home runs, but we're going to ship him out.
Yeah, he crushed that ball, man.
Yeah.
And he's got no protection in the lineup. And he's doing damage.
Okay, real quick. We'll come back to the Niners in a sec. I'll just say this. Dwayne Kuiper can say it's Bonds-like. You two cannot. Neither can I. We can't say that.
How come?
Because.
I watched every homer in Bonds' career. Saw his first
but that's
at bat.
Kipe.
WGN.
That's Kuiper.
Oh,
he's got some weight.
All right.
That carries weight. We can't say that.
Why did Steve Wash interview in this cap? Anniversary had me feeling. I'm feeling emotional.
Well, it's an emotional day,
and
it's almost Thursday.
Like whatever you're dealing with in life, stand up to it. Like have courage. I don't like that you said, and Kenny was right. If other black players didn't have his back because they were worried about, their neck and chest, I get it. But man, Evan, if it were, I'm talking about top tier dudes in the league, maybe it hits different.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people stand together, it's certainly louder than one voice, but that's what made
what he did.
That's why we remember it. It's because there was nobody else at that time that was willing to speak out the way that Colin Kaepernick did. And again, Steve Wyche was the first person to interview him in the aftermath of it. So 10 years later, that's why we're looking back on it, because it was a big deal, not just in the Bay Area, but as you heard from Wyche, around the country. He also said something about towards the end of the interview, and this is what we've been sort of dancing around all offseason. I think there are two schools of thought when it comes to the 2026 Niners. And it's either you believe that they will stay healthy and contend for a Super Bowl because who is on their roster and the talent they have, if they're healthy, will put them in contention with the Rams and the Seahawks. Or the other school of thought is, well, they're old, they're injury prone, and they're very top heavy without a lot of depth, which means that inevitably, because of the nature of football, when they get hurt, the Niners will fall off a cliff, a la what I think Colin Cowherd said yesterday, comparing them to Thelma and Louise driving off the cliff.
Oh, damn, I missed that.
Yeah, so I think those are the two sides of the aisle.
All right.
And if would be the middle that we're trying to walk down.
I'm going to go with the first one, and I'm going Beyonce on you. I've been drunken in love with the job that Kyle and the players did just as an organization last year, winning 12 games. Miss me with who they played. That was 6-12 written all over, 6-11 written all over it, and they won 12 games. So I feel like with all the reports, okay, I'm giving them the BOD, the benefit of the doubt, health is wealth. And just like Steve answered, maybe the gap's not that bigger. The gap is the injuries. But if the Niners can remain upright, I think they got some action.
Well, where do the Niners stand in the NFC West? Again, this was in our last segment. You can check out in full and in its entirety on the Odyssey app. Here's Steve Wyche.
I think the margin of injury error or some type of error, like
is much more minuscule for the 49ers. Again, look at their receiver depth. It's not there like some other teams may have. You know, you look at their running back depth. It's not quite as there. Their O-line depth, not quite as what it is maybe with some other teams. But again, if those frontline guys can play the majority of the games, and I'm not talking playing 10 games, but can play at least 14, 15 games, they should be right there. It's going to be tough for Seattle. It's always tough for those Super Bowl teams to repeat. But that's a really, really, really good football team that the majority of their stars are young and on the come up. The Rams, we know it's almost unfair, especially once Aaron Donald comes back, how loaded they are on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they got Trent McDuffie and guys like that to go with Myles Garrett. Again, it's there's always things that happen during the season which jeopardize teams that look like they're the front runner. But and for the 49ers know that more than anybody with their injuries. But all things being equal and everybody being durable, they're going to be right there in the mix.
You buying that?
Yeah, and I'm buying that. And you kind of just asked me before we played that sound just off of last year, but he got me to thinking. We're talking so much about Stribling, and again, you can say I'm being negative, but Evan, in regard to that depth at wide receiver, if somehow he were to go down. I mean, how much Jacob Cowan, can he stay healthy? DeMarcus Robinson, I love what you did in the playoff game. Jordan Watkins, are those guys going to truly ever pop? So when I talk about, when you talk to me about the Niner receiving core, my gosh, what do they have if something were to happen to Evans and Stribling?
Well, if something That's happens just, to those guys, you got Deebo Samuel and Christian Kirk, assuming Kirk can.
And I don't like that. Field.
Well, then you have the same wide receiving core you had last year when you won 12 games and beat the Philly, the Eagles
yeah.
in a playoff game.
That happened.
DeMarcus Robinson. But I do want to discuss that on the other side because that's why I think that Stribling is so important. It's because of the if we're talking about. The if surrounds all of the older guys.
Yeah.
That's why I think he has the potential to be exciting. 888-957-9570. Do you think the gap is not as far as we're making it out to be? And if so, why? Again, 888-957-9570, the gap between the 49ers and, of course, the two top-heavy teams at the top of the NFC West in the Rams and the Seahawks. Getting Zip for Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Hey, if you're still making plans for September, we've got you one. Great golf, great people, and an even greater cause. Learn more about the Pettinelli Financial Partners Charity Golf Tournament at Harding Park, Friday, September 11th, benefiting the Autism Society, SF Bay Area, at PettinelliFP.com. We're back after this on Stein and Guru.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.